welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor Joel Sickler, and I trust that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
In a recent case in Vernon, Connecticut, just back in December, a situation caused a home to be uninhabitable. The homeowner, who had been hoarding for years, allowed the house to become so cluttered and filled with trash that it led to a severe rat infestation. The conditions inside were so dire that the smell emanating from the house became unbearable for neighbors, particularly through the summer. The infestation and the overwhelming clutter made the house unsafe to live in, leading to local health authorities to declare the house uninhabitable and order the homeowner to vacate the property. The town even had to intervene by cleaning up the property and addressing the public health emergency, which included hiring pest control to manage the rat problem. The situation was not only a hazard to the homeowner, but also to the entire neighborhood. Their neighborhood was becoming corrupted and was becoming uninhabitable because of the rotting, stinking garbage that was not being disposed of. You know, my friend, this morning, just as it's not healthy for you to try to live in rotting trash in your home, it's also unsafe for you to try to live with sin in your life. God is holy, and He will not bless, He will not abide in a sinful life. I trust that you can stay with us today as we consider God's dwelling place.
Satisfied. this song.
It truly is wonderful to know God's presence in your life, to dwell on a daily basis with Him, to have Him speaking to us and walking with us through this life. Let's talk to Him even now. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for the provision that You've made for us, that we can be cleansed and healed and made whole from our sin. I pray, Lord, this morning, You be with each one of us. You see the listener today. I pray that You would be with them. You see their needs, the things that they may be struggling with. Lord, as they look to You, may You prove Yourself to be God, a helper and healer, the one who gives them strength, the one who gives them hope. I pray, Lord, that You'd bless in this program this morning. Accomplish Your will among us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com. I was seeking
reached out to Jesus, crying, Lord, hear my plea. For I want you to take all of me. Then out of darkness I saw his light, giving me a brand new start. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus found me when I gave him all my heart. He was seeking for me. Jesus was seeking.
My message for this morning is titled, The Dwelling Place of God. The tabernacle of the Old Testament was a tangible reminder that from the beginning of creation, God desired to dwell among his people. God fully knows his people, there is no doubt, but he wants to be known by his people as fully as they possibly can. First, let's consider the promise that God gave to Moses in Exodus chapter 29, verses 45 and 46. God, speaking to Moses, said, And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. We see here that God promised to dwell in the midst of his people, and be their God. What a wonderful thing for God to promise. What a wonderful insight we have through this to the desire of God to be with his people. So this morning, let's consider the preparation that God put into this as God wanted to tabernacle to dwell among the camp of Israel. Last week, we talked about Moses and Joshua. We talked about how Moses had returned from Mount Sinai to find Israel worshiping an idol, how Moses interceded for Israel, and God heard his plea and granted his request, speaking with Moses as a man speaks to his friend. I remind you that Joshua was there, just soaking in all that took place, in awe of the presence and glory of God that had come upon the place. This was part of the development of the man who would follow in Moses' footsteps as leader of Israel. Surely, at times after Moses' death, there were situations that Joshua was tempted just to give up on and quit when things were going poorly. But this was a time that he could look back to and remember the reality of God's presence when God had come upon the camp of Israel in a wonderful way. Joshua could also remember the scenes that led up to that day, for Joshua had accompanied Moses on the trip up the mountain and served him as Moses met with God. Now, I'm not sure if Joshua had been able to listen in as God spoke to Moses, but as a servant of Moses, it seems he must have been nearby. Perhaps he even assisted in writing down the words of God, recording God's plans for the tabernacle, a tent that would be the visible dwelling place of God in the midst of the camp. Joshua knew that the plans for the tabernacle were not just the invention of Moses, but came directly from the mouth of God in stunning detail, even to the appointment of the chief craftsman, Bezalel. He knew that God intended to make his presence known in the camp of Israel and would allow them to construct a tent that would serve as a temporary meeting place for God and man. But there was a problem in this plan. In the middle of the conversation, God stops, and Joshua is there when the anger of God was stirred. When God withheld his righteous wrath from destroying the entire camp of Israel because Moses pled with God for mercy. He personally witnessed the fact that God is a God that can be entreated. He knew that God listened to the interceding prayer of Moses and withheld his judgment and showed mercy to Israel for Moses' sake, even before Moses knew the sin that Israel was committing. As he had walked with Moses down off of Mount Sinai, still in awe of the conversation he just witnessed, the interceding of Moses in the face of God, and the stone tablets that they were carrying, written by the finger of God, a noise came to his ears, a noise from the camp. And Joshua fears the worst. "There's a battle going on in the camp," he cries out to Moses. But Moses calms his fears, saying, "That is the noise of singing that you hear." Joshua listens in disbelief as they walk on. The noise is hideous. There's screams, there's cries, there's shrieks of laughter. It's all I can make out from the noise. And then, as the camp comes into view, he sees that Moses is correct, and that idol is at the center of the commotion. Someone must have noticed the two men walking down the mountain and shouts, "Look, Moses and Joshua!" A hush falls across the guilt-stricken camp. As we read in Deuteronomy chapter 9, the mountain even began to burn with fire, a visible sign of the anger of God. The people then notice that Moses is carrying something. It looks like a carved piece of stone. I can imagine Moses crying out in a loud voice that rings across the enormous camp, "You have done thus to the law of God," as he smashes the two tables of stone against the rocks of the mountain, breaking them into piece after piece as he picks up the pieces and throws them down over and over again. Aaron, the spokesman for Moses, his older brother, chosen high priest that is to lead the people in the worship of the one true God, stands humiliated. Sadly, as many do when they're caught in sin, he tries to excuse his culpability in the situation, blaming the sin on the people. He tries to pass off the golden calf as just something that appeared when he threw the gold that was given to him in the fire. We see here the graciousness of God, as God's grace reached out even to Aaron, whose life is spared. But sadly, on that day, 3,000 men are put to death at the command of God. It's a time of great shame and sorrow in the camp of Israel. The tent where Moses goes to pray and be alone and talk with God, set up outside of the camp, it's a visible symbol that God no longer desires to dwell in their midst. You see, God is a holy God, and he will not dwell in a rebellious, stubborn people who are ready to return to the worship of idols. The people whose hearts are now sorrowing and longing for God to forgive and return to their midst walk out of the camp to the tent and pray, asking God for mercy. In them, there's a sense of deep grief that the dwelling place of God is no longer in the midst of his people. They realize that when God is no longer dwelling among them, they're weak, they're vulnerable. When his spirit has departed, they're totally on their own. Now, last week, we talked about God returning when Moses went out to the tabernacle, and Joshua was there, enthralled at the presence of God. It was a wonderful thing that God was so very gracious to return and that the people were able to worship God as Moses talks with him. Again, they had realized their need for the presence of God, and when he returned, they rejoiced. But God's plan is not complete. The stone tablets that Moses had destroyed must be remade, and Moses would gather the people together to share with them the words of God. First, Moses gives them the commands from the tablets, the commands from God, sharing with them what God expects from his people. For God wants his people to be separate, different from the Egyptians under whom they had been slaves, and different from the Canaanites whose land God had prepared to give them. God wants a people that are his own, that will seek after him and desire to be in his presence. And God is faithful to his promise to Abraham, their forefather, loving them, forgiving them, even when they don't deserve it. Moses then shared with them the plans that God had given him for a tabernacle, a tent that would be in the center of the camp where the people could come and meet with God. God had not changed. He was still the God who had said to Moses, "And I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." The people of Israel given the opportunity to prepare a dwelling place for God. Even though they were not worthy of it, God has forgiven, and God's presence has returned. Now, I realized this morning that God is not really interested in dwelling in a tent or a building. Even back in Moses' day, they realized that the tabernacle was not a place big enough for God's presence to entirely fit inside. But it was a meeting place for God. We know that the desire of God is still the same today. He desires to dwell among his people, to be known by them, to be their God. And this morning, I'd like to ask you, is he your God? Is God dwelling with you? Yes, you can forget about God. You can turn your back on him. And sadly, we've all failed God at some point. We've all sinned against him, doing what we knew was wrong and bringing upon ourselves guilt and bondage. We can so easily get caught up in valuing things that bring pleasure now and allowing our pride to set our priorities according to what I think is best for myself. If that's what we're doing, we're no better than the children of Israel that turned their backs on God right after he led them out of slavery in Egypt. God had been faithfully leading them, providing for their needs, guarding them. But in a moment when Satan suggests that God is not looking, they begin to praise something that they created. They'd been quick to trade the presence of God in their midst for an idol that they could create and control. But God wanted them to be a holy people, sacred and set apart, prepared to welcome his holy presence. But instead, they were corrupt and sinful. God had desired to dwell in their midst, but they desired their own way. And God would not force his presence upon them. He would not dwell where he was not desired. In the New Testament, we see that Jesus came, God in human flesh, and lived on earth. And even though he was God, he was rejected by his people and suffered and died on the cross to pay the price of redemption for mankind. In his suffering, Christ made it possible for us to be cleansed from sin and ready to be the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. In love, Jesus came to dwell with men and women, but most rejected him. My friend, I'm afraid it's still true today that while you can be the dwelling place of God, you can reject God's presence, and God will not abide with you. God desires to dwell with you today, but he will not force his presence upon you. God has made provision for you to be the dwelling place of his Spirit, but he will not come to those that are corrupt and sinful. John, in recording the revelation that's given to him in Revelation 21, verse 3, says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. and be their God. My friend, this morning, the desire of God is the same. My question for you is, are you fit to be the dwelling place of God this morning? If so, if you know His presence dwelling with you today, if you are the dwelling place of God, you can rejoice in that presence. And if not, seek after Him, for it is His desire to dwell with you. He wants to be God in your life. He wants to fill you with His presence, giving you the life that is eternal. A life with Him that will go on and on for eternity. Today, you can be the dwelling place of God. And for eternity, you too can dwell in His presence. You've been listening to Missionary Echoes, a weekly broadcast from the God's Missionary Church on Hill Street. I invite you to our service this morning and trust that God blesses and keeps you throughout this day. Remember, God wants to dwell with you, and I trust that you experience His presence walking with you. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week.